Welcome back. Here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, you know, we've talked at the outset a little bit about some of the reactions that people are having emotionally to the headlines and what do the economics tell us, and it's confusing for people. And we, once a quarter, have an opportunity to talk to Philip Peterson. Philip is the chief investment strategist for Manulife Investments, and his job is to take all this complex stuff and try to make it understandable and give people a sense of what's really happening under the surface, right? Not just what the headlines are that we read and see, but what do the fundamentals look like? So, Philip, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, my man, let's sort of start with the year to date. I'd love to give your to get your sort of refreshed thoughts on where you thought, how you thought 2019 was shaping up, and then, you know, fast forward 11 months, how it actually played out year to date, and let's talk about some of the differences.
I would say, you know, when you mentioned on the top that what I try and do is make sense of what's going on, this year has been a little bit more difficult than in prior years. And the reason for that being is we've got an interesting political environment going on right now with or between the United States and China that has resulted in tariffs and slower global growth. But let me start at the beginning of the year. If we recall, about a year ago, the markets were in a correction, and a pretty healthy correction that concluded basically Christmas Eve, and then on Boxing Day, you know, things started to go the other way. And between the low of the market in December to around the middle of April, we saw a full recovery. So it was a bit sharper and faster than what we would have anticipated. However, you know, we did figure that we would see a recovery nonetheless. What I'm surprised of since then is that the markets continue to move up. And so we continue to hit new highs when the economic data and even the fundamental company data continues to be rather weak. Now, not so weak that we're suggesting we're headed towards a recession in the United States or globally, but weak enough that, you know, we're surprised that the markets continue to again, march higher. Yeah. Breakthrough to new highs without really any good reason other than the fact that there's hopes that we're going to see some type of trade deal between China and the United States. So I would say the first half of the year, you know, not too surprising. Certainly since September, I would argue that the market has taken us by surprise as it has moved up on really no change in the environment for the better, but some things that we can point to that have actually gotten worse. And it seems to be, you know, the adage of buy the rumor, sell the fact. Well, certainly the market is buying the rumor right now on the equity side.
So what should it have done if we were to turn the clock back to where you're like, okay, it's not all that great right now, and we shouldn't see the markets take off like they have. What should have it done? Should it have been flat? Should we have seen a contraction in the stock market? Like, what should have it happened?
From where we were at the end of the summer, the market should have pretty much stayed where they stayed at that level, right? And I don't necessarily think we should have seen a market contract. I mean, you know, we're not looking at overvalued equity markets here. We are looking at fully valued equity markets that are moving up on negative earnings growth, and that's the challenge that we have. Earnings or profit growth year over year is, let's call it flat, it's very modestly negative, but when we look ahead to some of the indicators that that are predictive of forward earnings growth, it suggests that earnings growth is going to continue to remain flat or negative for the next couple of quarters at least, and markets moving up in that environment is what has us scratching our heads.
Okay, so let's go back to the earnings piece there. We're seeing negative earnings growth, which means companies are not making as much money on the profit side as they were in the past. So it's going in a negative direction. Walk us through really quickly, why is that important? Because I don't think people are paying attention to it, or maybe they don't understand why that's significant when it comes to how stocks are valued.
Right. So the first thing is we have to distinguish between negative earnings growth and losses. So companies aren't losing money. That's important. You know, often when we hear negative earnings growth, so, you know, that must mean that companies are losing money. That's not the case. But to what you said exactly, they're not making as much as they were a year ago. And it's only modest, right? And it's not every company. But on average, when we look at the U.S. stock market, earnings are down 1% from a year ago. And why that's important is that, you know, we tend to say, look, call me old-fashioned. I like to make money in the stock market because the companies that I own are generating higher profits, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it just makes sense. If a company makes more money, it should be worth more. If in general, companies are making less money, well, they shouldn't be worth more. They should be worth perhaps a little bit less, or, you know, valuation should stay where it is. And so this is what I think is being missed, or is driving perhaps the level of optimism on earnings growth for next year, I would argue, is too high. Currently, the estimates for earnings growth for 2020 is just under 10%. So what the analysts are suggesting is that we're going to see profits rebound, and rebound very strongly next year, to the tune of about 10% over what profits were in 2019. Challenge I have with that isn't supported by any of the data that we look to that has been indicative of forward earnings growth.
And that's a very good point. So what the analysts are making the assumption on is that U.S.-China trade deal all better now, so that things are moving forward. Is that like, why would they have that view when the rest of the data that we look at is not supporting it?
That's the million-dollar question today. And the other thing we also have to consider is that even if we got a trade deal, and so far, you know, the phase one of the trade deal doesn't necessarily suggest that we're going to see a rollback of all the tariffs. I mean, it's kind of a he said, she said thing here, where we hear on one hand, yes, you know, the tariffs will be rolled back. On the other hand, no, they won't. And so we're left wondering what's going to happen, because if the tariffs that have been in place aren't rolled back, aren't removed, then the environment doesn't improve. Why would trade improve, and therefore why would earnings go up? And then the other thing that we have to keep in mind is the slowdown that we've seen globally isn't just because of the tariffs.
Bingo.
It started before that, and just because we get a trade deal, does that mean it will fix all of the problems or some of the slowdown and what led to the slowdown earlier in 2018, and that's what right now I'm not seeing evidence of.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the show, right? It's this notion of what's being priced in,
mm-hmm.
right? And can we quantify that? And like Philip, you and I were talking about, you know, I'm not sure that a phase one deal necessarily contains all of the elements. You know, Trump's been boasting about the amount of agricultural purchases that they're going to make. Well, what if it comes in shy of that?
Yep.
Right? If it is just a freeze of future tariffs and not a rollback, as Philip said, China wants rollbacks, right? So what if you don't get that? So you could conceivably get a phase one deal.
Yeah, but be disappointing.
But be disappointing, yeah. Right? And I think there's a probability building towards that.
That's a good point. How about we go to commercial break? Come back, talk to Philip about how is he positioned in the portfolio today so we can look forward. I'm going to ask this question right now, and I want the answer after the break. Okay, Philip, should we sell all of our stocks now because of everything slowing down? If this thing crashes, we better protect ourselves. Or on the opposite, I'm hearing from a lot of people saying, hey, should we not put more money in the stock market and go heavy on that? We'll talk about those two extreme levels and what's the right thing for people who are transitioning to or living in retirement. And we'll be discussing how to have this five-pillar investment strategy approach, Dave. We're going to do that on Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. Now you need to reserve your seat, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, so if you're wondering whether or not you should sell everything and head for the hills and go hide, then stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.